Well, hello everyone and welcome back. We're still in day three of our five-day virtual parenting conference at howtolearn.com. And you really do get front row access to parenting experts who give you all the latest information, and they will answer all of your parenting questions. So we'll give you a way to make sure that that happens both on the live call or if you're listening in on the MP3s later on. A little bit about us, howtolearn.com is the number one learning site on the internet with nearly 2 million visitors a year. And we have over 250,000 parents, teachers, homeschoolers, students, and business people who are on our newsletter who get our learning tips every week. And my name is Pat Wyman, and I'm the founder of howtolearn.com and the author of the Worldwide Good Middle Schools through College. And recently, the Instant Learning Made Easy series that we've just put on Amazon that has several titles that we're putting up about a new title every week. And right away, the first title called Spelling Made Easy, Learn Your Words in Half the Time, became a bestseller. And our next title is Math Facts Made Easy, Learn Your Facts in Half the Time. And then the following one will be Vocabulary Made Easy, Learn Your Words in Half the Time. So you'll find all of those on Amazon. So if you have, if you have questions for the presenter, as I said today, you can certainly ask them on this live call. And then if not, then our presenter will give you a way that you can email her the questions. And if you have friends that you think can benefit from listening to this parenting conference either on the MP3 replays or live, just have them go over to howtolearn.com and type in Virtual Parenting Conference on our search bar at the top of our website, and they can register for the conference right there. So this afternoon, I'm really excited because we have a very, very, very special guest and expert, and her topic is called Six Steps to Conquer the Chaos of Homework and School. And as parents, we certainly all know about that. So let me tell you just a little bit about our presenter tonight. Susan Kruger has a master's in education, and she's a certified teacher and a reading specialist. She combined her personal struggles as a student with her professional expertise to create a student-friendly system for improving grades and building student confidence. Susan has been teaching study skills since 1996 and serves as an intervention specialist for the world's largest educational publishing company. She is also the author of the best-selling study skills book in the world. It's called SOAR, S-O-A-R, SOAR Study Skills, A Simple and Efficient System for Getting Better Grades in Less Time. She's also the founder of studyskills.com. Her program is in over 1,200 schools around the world, and she travels across the country training educators in study skills and literacy topics. She's also the proud mom of two children and married to a fellow educator, and you can get more information about Susan or her SOAR Study Skills program by visiting her website at studyskills.com. So, Susan, welcome. We're so happy to have you here. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
I'm just delighted. I'm absolutely delighted to have you here. I mean, you're speaking on a topic that's sort of near and dear to my heart. My kids are grown now. I certainly have a couple of grandkids right now, they'll head into this, but we all know what that feels like, the chaos of homework and school, and you're going to take care of that for us tonight, so thank you so much. So let's get into these questions that I have for you, and then, as I said at the end, anyone can ask a live question that would like to, or you can email Susan, and she'll tell you how to do that a little bit later. So, Susan, how did you get into study skills yourself? You know, have you always been a good student?
Oh, not at all. And that's exactly how I got into study skills. I struggled all the way from kindergarten through high school. And really, as I was getting ready to go into college, I knew something would have to change or I wasn't going to make it through college. So to make a long story short, I just started looking for some resources. So I just had a sense that there was something that I was missing about managing school. And essentially what I did is I found resources for preparing for college, but through those I learned study skills. And it wasn't just learning study skills. It was actually, I found many of them actually very complicated. So I took bits and pieces of them and sort of simplified them and pared them down. And that's when I finally found success with school, was when I found that those shortcuts that originally sort of made me feel like I was cheating actually turned out to be a big savior for me and allowed me to get through school. So I ended up going from struggling in high school to getting a 3.9 grade point average during my first semester of college.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. That obviously, you know, understanding those study skills really helped you a lot.
Yeah, it's very significant.
It is very significant. So you're definitely the right person to be talking with everyone about study skills. Obviously, you experienced it firsthand, and then putting it together with such an incredible program that, like you have, that I've seen, they're just remarkable. So thank you for
all of that
you're doing. Susan, what does the research tell us about the importance of study skills?
Well, yeah, for the most part, research tends to avoid looking at study skills, but there are some studies out there that show that study skills are essential. There was a study done by Ohio State University just a couple years ago that found that incoming freshmen into their university who took a study skills course had remarkable results. So when compared to a control group, students who came into college that had been struggling in high school were 45% more likely to graduate from college if they took a study skills class, and of course their grades were higher as well. For students who were considered average in high school, they were 6 times more likely to graduate from college than students who did not take a study skills course. And this study looked at over 600 students, obviously watching them long-term over the course of 6 years to determine who was able to graduate within that time. So it's a pretty convincing study in and of itself. And then there's other things. Carnegie Mellon Foundation, for example, they interviewed 500 CEOs, and their goal was to determine what factors contribute to an employee's success in the workplace. And the Carnegie Mellon Foundation came to the conclusion that 75% of an employee's success in the workplace was not based on their technical skills and how well they knew their job, but was based on their soft skills and how well they were able to learn their job, adapt to it, and also work with others. And so soft skills are the business term for study skills. You know, they're basically the same thing. Education calls them study skills, but in the workplace they refer to it as soft skills. So there's very, very strong evidence that supports that. But, of course, most parents sit there and think, well, why do we even need studies to say that study skills are important? We know that our kids need to learn how to learn and that that's not being taught in school.
Well, obviously you and I are doing, you know, that work that is teaching these kids about learning and how to learn, and you're right, it's not taught in school. I think that's the single biggest thing that's missing from our schools, and I know that you agree with that, obviously, or you wouldn't be doing the work that you're doing. So,
right, exactly.
So, let's kind of get into our topic a little bit here. And I know you have really so many good tips to share. So let's, you know, talk about parents and homework and this constant battle that goes on at homework time or in homework, not even at homework time, but just about homework in general. Why is it that homework causes so much grief?
Well, there's a lot of things that factor into homework, and really they all tie into one major element, and that is that homework represents control. So a child knows that you place, you as a parent, place a lot of value on homework. And so they look at the homework as an opportunity to basically have a say in their life. If they refuse to do their homework, or if they give trouble, or you know, they cause challenges with homework, a lot of that is just about their desire to have something to say. And on one hand, it seems oversimplified, but if you think about it, children spend their entire day being told what to do, when to do it, where to be, how to be. And when they get home after a long day at school and then they have to sit down and do homework, they just absolutely don't want to do it. And their resistance with that is just about, come on, let me have some time, let me make a choice, let me get out of this. And so that really all is, any way you look at the battles with homework, they come back to wanting control. So one of the things that is really helpful for parents, and it seems like it, there wouldn't be a correlation here, but it's very powerful, is just to let the child have some choices. And that includes choices about when they're going to do their homework or how they're going to do their homework, but also choices that aren't even related to school at all. Simple things like, would you like spaghetti or pizza for dinner tonight? Anything is minor as it may seem, choices are very, very powerful. The thing about choices that's helpful or very valuable is that you can give your child some control by while also maintaining parameters. So, you know, when you ask them if they want spaghetti or pizza, you are offering them two options that you're willing to go with. You're not just saying, hey, what do you want for dinner? And they choose, you know, the fanciest restaurant on the block. Instead, you're limiting the parameters, but you're still giving them a choice. With homework, some choices might be, do you want to study for your spelling test 3 nights a week for 10 minutes at a time, or would you like to do, or I guess maybe I should say 5 nights a week for 10 minutes at a time, or would you like to do 3 nights a week for 20 minutes? Or, you know, you can give some options for them and how they want to tackle their homework or tackle studying for a test, and little by little that does help build their level of cooperation. It's not the only thing that's going to solve homework challenges, but it's definitely a huge step. And without that in place, anything else is very difficult to work with, because that underlying problem, if it's still there, it's just going to erode any other efforts that you make.
Wow. You know, that's really, really powerful. That's one of the best tips that I've heard about giving, you know, about homework and starting to solve this chaos issue that it can cause. Choice is so huge for kids. So, you know, if you're doing, you're even doing more than just the homework piece of it. You know, you're teaching a parenting skill here in helping your child make really good choices over time as they grow up, too. They obviously have many more than one choice at a time, and you're helping them make really good ones that work for them. So I love that idea of, you know, taking the homework and saying, you know, how do we, you know, here are two choices, which would you like to do? And obviously that gives a clear message that it is going to get done, but it gives them the choice of how and when to do it. So I really love that.
It's very empowering, and if I'll just tell a brief little story. I know you want to get on to some other topics, but first of all, I have a very, very, very stubborn daughter that's 3 and a half, and I mean extraordinarily stubborn, and choices, that asking her questions and giving her a choice, that is the only thing that breaks down that stubbornness in her, and it's the only way my husband and I can communicate with her. Or, you know, move forward with her. And I just thank God every day that we figured that out early enough, or even just that I was privy to this information long before she was even born, to understand that that's how she works. But it is very powerful. And, you know, in Disney World, at least Disney World in Orlando, they have those Dumbo rides. They have a wide variety of them. I think they have 4 different rides that are like Dumbo, where you just get in the ride and you go up and down and spin around in circles. It's a 60-second ride, and kids are willing to wait in line for an hour and a half for this ride. Well, this is significant. You know, my son, of all the wonderful things at Disney World, he always wants to do Dumbo. And, you know, this baffled me. Why on earth, with all these fantastic things around, all these magical things, why are we doing Dumbo over and over and over again? Well, we're doing Dumbo because there's a little joystick in there that allows him to take the car up and or the elephant up and take the elephant down. And for 60 seconds, he gets that choice to go up or down. And to him, that is so worth it that he's willing to wait in line over and over and over again and bypass everything else in the park to do Dumbo. Now, obviously, he's not the only child that feels that way because of the fact that the lines are so long and Disney's replicated Dumbo and, like I said, at least three additional ways. But I think that's a very powerful way for us to understand that simple choices make a huge difference. It doesn't seem to us that choosing between spaghetti or pizza or, you know, how you're going to do the spelling test doesn't seem like that's going to matter a whole lot, but that is worth gold to your child.
Well, you know, I have to really, really, really agree on that point because I remember when my kids were young and obviously they have to get dressed for school in the morning. And mm-hmm. what I would do at the time when they were really young is I would put out two outfits and say, okay, which of these two would you like to wear today? And, you know, empowering kids from the very beginning, and that's exactly what you're doing here, is, like you said, you can't put a price tag on it. And I love the thing you were talking about with the ride because, you know, it seems, you know, very simple to us, and yet for a child, you're building something in them for the long term, not just for the short term, by offering them choices. And that, again, like you said, it's very, very empowering. So thanks.
Yeah, it sends a message to them that their voice matters. I think that's really ultimately what they're looking for, is they're looking to know that somebody's hearing them.
Yes, absolutely. Somebody cares. Somebody's listening. And, you know, and then in the end, they're the ones making the decision. So, you know, how much better does it get than that for parenting?
Right, exactly. Exactly. It saves a lot of grief in a lot of different ways.
It really, really does. And so, by the way, so teachers that may be listening to this call as well, you know, that's a pretty great technique to be using in the classroom, too. Give the kids a choice when you know that it's possible to do that between two different things. So, Susan, you know, you see lots and lots of parents, and you talk to lots and lots of parents at your workshops, et cetera. You know, they're going to ask you a question for sure. They're going to continue to ask because everybody, even though we're all in this together and even though these situations generally repeat themselves a million times a day for all of us, you know, like they're all the same type of situation, but what do you say to parents who ask you, how do I get my, and I'm going to underscore the I, how do I get my kid to do this?
Okay, yes. There's two levels to this question. Essentially, what we're talking about here is about motivation. And in the 6 steps to conquer the chaos, the first 3 focus on motivation. So number 1 is give choices. And now the second is, you know, when you're talking about how do I get my kid to do this, it's to make sure that if you're going to propose study skills, for example, if you're going to propose a way to organize their papers or a better way to manage their time, then the way to do that, of course, start with giving choices, but also make sure that they understand why you want to do this. And you can't just say to them, well, I want you to get better grades so that you do well in life. To them, that is very abstract. They can't very well foresee their future. That's still a very, very long ways away for them. So the way to speak their language is to say, look, you know, we all have things we have to do in life that we don't like to do. I'm looking to find ways that you can get this done in less time so that you can get better grades and do it in less time. And, again, this seems so simple, but these are the kinds of things that are so simple we have a tendency to miss. I have been teaching study skills now for almost 20 years, and as you can imagine, most of the time, I'd say easily 80% of the students in my classes do not want to be there. So I tackle this issue head on right from the very first minute I speak to them. After I greet them at the door, I say, okay, let's just be honest. How many of you are here because somebody is making you come? You know, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a teacher or counselor or whatever. And 80% of the hands in the room go up. And they're actually happy to know that I recognize that. You know, instantly now I'm somewhat cool because I'm not going to try to ignore that issue. You know, I'm going to acknowledge it for them. And then I will say, okay, well, you know, I understand that and I get why you don't want to be here. I'll say something to the effect of, you know, you're so used to everyone telling you what to do and having lots of homework and lots of schoolwork. The last thing you want is to sit here and have me tell you that you have to do more or work harder. So the good news is I don't want that for you either. It's actually possible for you to get better grades in less time. I would love for you to be successful, but I also want you to have time for fun stuff. And as soon as I say that, it's an amazing thing to watch because the body language in the room just completely changes. And people start leaning forward. They, you know, they'll come in with their arms crossed and they're slouched back in their chair. All of a sudden the arms start to drop. They start to lean forward. Their facial expressions indicate that they're interested. And now this isn't, you know, this won't necessarily reach every single child or every single student, but this reaches the vast majority of them. And so the message to parents is just to focus on what is it that they need to hear that's going to make this relevant to them right now. We can tie the future into it a little bit, but we need to make sure they understand that we are on their side here. We want them to have time for fun stuff, and that's okay. We all need time for fun stuff in life, but we also need to make sure that we can take care of responsibilities, and you know, you as the parent want to be sure that you can help them get those responsibilities taken care of as painlessly as possible.
Well, Susan, that's just brilliant because you've done two things simultaneously. First of all, you tapped in to what the kids want, which obviously for them is more time and more control and free time. I mean, that is going to motivate them. That always motivates kids mm-hmm. when they have their interests met. And like you said, give them some sense of control. And then clearly, you know, you've just given the parent a way to get them to be motivated to do what they absolutely need to do, but you're going to show them some ways to do it in less time. And so that motivator is huge right there. I love that. you're doing two great things at once. That's a tremendous, tremendous strategy and a really big help to parents and, in the long run, obviously, a huge help to the students, too. So you're encouraging, you know, fun, and you're encouraging learning, and, you know, you're keeping the students engaged and motivated at the same time. So that's really, really, really exciting.
Well, good. Well, thank you for that feedback. And, you know, really what it comes down to is students don't understand that they can apply strategies to school and learning. And they understand strategies because they use them in sports, they use them in video games, but they just have no sense or awareness that strategy can be applied to school and learning as well. And so that's really the big hurdle that I think you know, parents are facing when they're trying to get kids motivated about doing their homework more efficiently, is that it actually is possible to apply strategy to school and homework too.
Well, you've done it. You've done it really, really well here. And I think that's, you know, parents listening in and teachers listening in, you know, anybody that's working with kids, that's such a huge help. So thank you for that. You know, when I was working with my own two kids, you know, as they went through school, and I've also taught for years. I've taught many, many years. And today I teach teachers. So this question actually applies, you know, for everyone. You know, so many times we'll look at kids and see the way that they're doing things, and somehow it looks pretty, you know, disorganized. You know, they don't seem like they're particularly organized in what they're doing. Why do you think that, and we know that that's a skill that they need to succeed in school, clearly, we know that's a skill they need. Mm-hmm. Why is it that organization is so difficult for so many students?
Oh, this is an excellent question, and there's three reasons why organization is a challenge. The first is that they have entirely too much stuff. I'll take an average middle school student, for example, typically has six different classes. Sometimes it's more than that, but let's say they have six classes. That means they're going to see six different teachers in six different locations. They have six separate folders, and they have six separate notebooks on top of all of their other textbooks and so on. So now they've got 12 different folders and notebooks they have to keep track of, and they have to transport them across all these different transition points in their day. So they have just entirely too much stuff. And to put this in terms that we might be able to relate with as adults, that would be like us having 12 different email inboxes that we had to manage every day. But it's actually even worse, because most of us, if we're managing email in 12 different inboxes, we often aren't doing it across six different locations, just within the school building, let alone the transition between home and school. So there's a tremendous amount of chaos in their life with just all that stuff and all the places they go with it. The second thing is that everything looks alike. When they are looking in their book bag or they're looking in their locker, trying to get their folders, trying to get notebooks, everything's stacked on top of one another. And so when you're looking at the top of folders or the side of folders, they all look alike. One might have a blue cover and one might have a red cover, but you rarely can see the cover when everything's stacked on top of one another. And then the third issue that plays right into both of these things is that anytime they're managing papers, they are in a rush. They're always in a rush. When they are in the classroom and teachers are passing out homework, oftentimes it's as the bell is ringing or just before the bell is ringing, so they feel a sense of being rushed and getting the paper from the teacher and just getting off to their next class. The consequences of not putting that paper in the right place don't even have time to sink in because there's that impending pressure of getting to their next class on time. When they're at their locker at the end of the day, they are either in a rush to go get the bus or to go off to sports practice, or at the very least, they're just in a rush to get out of there. When they're at home and they're doing homework, they don't want to be doing homework. Their mind, there's part of their mind that all the time, I mean, the entire time they're doing homework, there is a section of their brain that is thinking, I can't wait for this to be over. I can't wait to be done. I want to be doing something else. And so the second they put the last dot on their paper, there's like a red button in their brain that gets pushed that's just, I call it the done button. And you know, there's a sense of relief that washes over them that the assignment is done. But again, that extra step of putting the paper away properly doesn't register with them because it just at that point in time, that doesn't seem urgent. It doesn't seem important. And so that is why organization is such a big challenge. What I recommend to counteract it is to limit the number of supplies they have into one binder. And this has a cascading domino effect on all the three issues I talked about. When the children are able to combine all of their folders and notebooks into one binder, which is possible, most people don't believe me, but you can get a 1.5-inch binder. You can put six or even up to eight or more folders, just some simple plastic folders inside, and then ditch those spiral notebooks and just use loose leaf notebook paper. And so then the loose leaf notebook paper can just be sorted behind the subject folder. So, for example, if you have your math folder in the binder, then behind the math folder goes math notes. Now you have one thing that the child is carrying through all these transition points, not 12. This becomes so much easier for them to manage. The other thing that's nice about it is that when they're, you know, reaching into their book bag, they don't have to decipher between 12 different folders and notebooks. They just have the one binder. When they're at home and they're doing their homework and they finish, they put that last dot on the paper and that done button gets pushed in their brain, well, instead of having to dig through the folder to find the right folder, or excuse me, dig through their book bag to find the right folder to put it away, all they have to do is just open their binder. I always tell them, use your binder as a lap desk. Do your homework right on top of the binder. And then when you're done, you open it, you flip to the right folder, and slide it in. It's only a couple of steps that they have to do rather than about 15 or 20 to dig through the bag, find the folder, take it out, open it up, and, you know, that whole business.
Wow.
So there's a lot of benefits that come from narrowing down to just one thing to keep track of.
Well, can they? Do you have those folders on your site, or I mean, where do you recommend that they get those folders?
We do sell a supply kit through our site, but the folders are really available in any office supply store. So if you go to your local Staples or Office Max or whatever, in the aisle where they have paper dividers or binder dividers, subject dividers is the term I'm looking for, you'll find plastic folders. They're becoming more and more popular over the last several years. So you can find them pretty easily in office supply stores.
Okay, that's terrific. That I can just tell that's a lifesaver right there. And, you know, that does, you know, this carrying all these. And you know, there's some other health, interestingly, health reasons to not carry so much stuff around, too. You know, doctors talking about these heavy backpacks that these kids have because of these heavy things that they're carrying. Mm-hmm. You know, 12 additional things when they don't really have to do that on top of their textbooks and whatnot, that's going to lighten
right.
up that as well. So, you know, that's
sure.
Serving it.
And a lot of these poor kids are just terrified that they're going to leave something somewhere or show up with the wrong thing. So that's why they're doing that, too. So,
well,
yeah, you're right. There's some good health reasons for that.
But it's good. I mean, you're serving, you know, great purposes here, and that would definitely help keep a kid organized. I love that idea. I really love that idea.
That's our most popular strategy, actually, is the binder. And, you know, there's a little more of an elaborate system. I shouldn't say elaborate because it's actually rather simple, but there's more steps involved in the system that I just don't have time to get into right now. But it is definitely one of our most popular strategies that we get most feedback about how much that has changed students' lives and then consequently changes parents' lives, too.
Well, that's, you know, that's really helpful, too. And when parents go to your website at studyskills.com, where can they find more information about that strategy that you're just talking about?
That would be found probably in our value bundle. We have a video that walks through all the different times of the day that you'd be using the binder. It points out different transition points. That students can be aware of, and then just tips for using the binder during those transition points, with the goal being on simplifying the process all the way through.
Oh, I love it. Actually, that was the first time I've heard that strategy, and I love it instantly. So that's a good one. That's a really good
Great.
One.
Great. Thank you.
So I have just a couple more questions to ask you before
sure.
we open up the lines for any other questions. You know, we're rushed today. I mean, the truth of it is all of us, you know, parents, we are
mm-hmm.
rushed. You know, you know, we got to, the alarm goes off, you got to get up, you know, feed the kids got to go to school. It just, and that rush doesn't seem to end because there's school activities and there's all kinds of things going on for the parents and for the kids at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So what that would obviously mean is that there's going to be, you know, something that's called last minute syndrome going on, and parents need some strategies and some tips to handle that last minute syndrome. What do you suggest to them for that?
Okay, yes. Yeah, I can still hear my dad's voice in my head right now. Why can't you kids learn how to plan ahead? I will always forever be able to hear him harping in my head. But the truth of the matter is we did not know how to plan ahead, and that is really something that needs to be taught to students, but it just isn't. So I have a strategy to help families manage the last-minute syndrome. First of all, I use the term think forward. I want students to learn how to think forward. And, again, it's not something that we do naturally. You know, our brains naturally are still caveman brains that really are more responding to threats and, you know, either threats of danger or threats of hunger rather than being proactive about planning and thinking forward. So, you know, we are in a society that expects us to have skills that really must be taught. So what I recommend for that is something called the Sunday night meeting. And really, I would love to have a term for this that was a little less formal, because I really do want to emphasize that this should be an informal thing for families, but it still needs to be done in order for it to work. It's just taking a few minutes at the beginning of the week where everyone grabs their planner, their calendar, any sports schedules, and they just discuss what the plans are for the week. Now, there's so many benefits to this. Again, 5 minutes doesn't seem like you could get a whole lot of benefit from it, but there's huge things that come from this. The first thing I encourage parents to do is to make sure that this is a conversation and not an interrogation. So when you have the meeting, rather than just focusing on what your kids are doing and what their plans are, share your plans first. So you can say, all right, well, this coming week, I've got a big presentation at work. I'm going to be kind of worried about that on Monday because I'm going to have to give it Tuesday. And even if it has no bearing on your children whatsoever, just tell them about it. You know, you can tell them about anything that you have planned for the week, whether it affects them or not. Of course, that's the time you might want to tell them you're working late Monday to prepare for it, so you might not be home for dinner or whatever. But also anything, just anything that's on your mind, share it with them. Because ultimately, that's what you want them to do with you, is you want them to share those kinds of things with you as well. And then, of course, you turn the floor over to them. Well, what do you have coming up this week? Do you have any, you know, you want them to be volunteering. You have to coach a little bit, but do you have any tests coming up? What's your plan for homework? Have you checked your sports schedule? Do you have basketball practice this week? You know, those are the things that you want to cover at the beginning of the week so that students can get a sense of what it means to think forward. It's a wonderful way of just developing that habit together as a family where you're all focused on thinking forward together. Now, there's the benefits, again, that come from this is that you are modeling that thinking forward process, but you're also modeling a conversation, and this will now reduce the number of questions you have to ask throughout the week. So then your nag factor as a parent goes down because you'll know so much more about what's going on in your child's life from, you know, the conversation at the beginning of the week versus having to just keep peppering them with questions. And, of course, you know, you and I understand why parents have to pepper with questions. We need to know what's going on, but our kids don't like it. So if we can avoid that, you know, with this proactive form of communication, that's very helpful. This strategy is also wonderful for students who live in two different homes. When I was actually writing my book, I wanted to include tips for students who are from divorced families or whatever the case may be, if they're going back and forth between two different homes throughout the week. And I sent out an email to about 100 different people asking for tips and saying, you know, if this is not a situation that affects you, you know, could you ask the person in the cubicle next to you? And I got a flurry of responses from people. They were so excited that I was addressing this question. But the interesting thing is, all of the suggestions that came to me were all about things that parents could do. And not a single one of the strategies was focused on what students could do to help manage their life. And I didn't want to include something that was dependent on the parents because, you know, students can't always depend on both parents being able to follow through on strategies. That's just the reality of it. So the nice thing about this type of strategy is that the child can talk with one parent and then get on the phone with the other and just figure out right at the beginning of the week what the plans are with both households that they'll be visiting, and that gives them a significant sense of control over their life.
You know, one of the things I love so much, I love everything you're talking about, Susan, and all of these strategies, and in particular, you know, you are really doing something that is so unique. You're doing so many things simultaneously for these parents and for these kids. You know, you're obviously giving them strategies to handle what they need to handle, but the more important pieces of that, you've given them the best ways to do it possible, and at the same time, for example, this is just one of the many that you've given tonight, you just said that it gives the kids more feeling of control over their life, particularly in a situation where they might not feel very much control, like a two-parent household kind of thing, you know, two different households. And that's, I mean, I really respect what you're doing there, because all of the strategies that you've been sharing tonight with everyone, they all have multiple benefits in many areas of their life, of, you know, for both the kids and the parents. So thank you again for that. That's just remarkable.
Great. Thanks for that feedback.
Well, you know, I know that you have a lot of wonderful things on your website at studyskills.com, a lot of incredible things. So, you know, there's one thing in particular that you have that I was hoping you could talk about just a little bit, and maybe tell parents what they might expect to learn from your homework help for parents. There's an audio program and an ebook that you have. What can parents expect to learn from that?
Well, that program is structured with an inventory that parents can take right at the beginning, so they can go through. It asks several questions, the most common questions that we hear, which, by the way, I know parents feel very lonely when they're dealing with their homework battles, but almost every homework battle or school-related issue that comes to my attention is actually very common. I mean, I rarely hear of a situation that is completely unique. And so we have compiled all of those common situations together into an inventory that parents can take, and that allows them to then focus on their areas of top concern. So any of the questions that they say, oh, yes, I really relate to this, and they check it off, well, then they can correlate that with tracks in our audio program and go instantly to the sections of the program that are the most relevant to them. So, of course, if they want to listen through everything and read through the ebook, they can do that. But if they're busy and they just want some relief right away, they can target the specific areas that they relate to the most, and then they can find the resources, again, through the audio. And then we do have some multimedia resources. For example, you asked about the supplies for the binder. Well, we have a link for that. When you get the audio, it gives you a link that shows you some images of supplies that are that we recommend for that, and some websites that are relevant to the topics included in that section, or excuse me, in that program.
Oh, well, thank you.
So ultimately, oh, I'm sorry. I think there's a little bit of delay here, so I apologize for cutting you off. I was just going to say we're really trying to focus on helping busy parents dial in on the challenges quickly and have very, very simple. I mean, that's the rule of my life, is it has to be simple in order for anybody to do it. So we have some simple solutions laid out in the program.
Well, you've certainly done that on this call tonight. You've done that and much, much more. And I know that everyone listening in thanks you very much, and I definitely thank you for doing all of these wonderful things that you're doing, and then sharing them with us too. I really, really appreciate that. Do you have, before we go to questions, do you have any special things that you would like our listeners to know about on your website?
Yes, definitely. If listeners come to our website, there is a big box on the right-hand side of the screen that has an ebook basically they can download called 6 Steps to Conquer the Chaos, the same title as this show, and it goes into more detail of some of the things we've talked about and some other things we haven't had time to get to yet. So they can request that. And actually, you know what, I misspoke. I said ebook, but it's actually delivered in individual emails. The 6 steps will come one a day for a week, and we do that because each of the steps has very powerful information. We want you to take some time to read each one in small doses. They're about 5-minute doses a day, and give yourself some time to think them through, let them sit on your brain a little bit, and that's really the way the brain works best anyway. And hopefully you'll find some great strategies there to help you and your child be successful in school and also get along better, because school should not be a point of turmoil in the family, although it often is, so we'd like to reverse that for families.
Well, thank you for that, Susan. That, you know, that's a wonderful gift for people that go to your website. And the way in which you deliver it, too, that's another benefit for them in those smaller chunks. And then it expands on everything that you've been talking about here tonight as well. You know, it's
yep.
expand on it and give people more time. So what I'd like to do right now is if people want to reach you by email, what's the best way to do that to ask their questions?
The best way to contact me is actually through the website. At the very top of the site or at the very bottom of the site, there is a link to contact us. And if you'll just enter your question in the contact us form on our website, that will go to our lead instructor first, and then anything that is from How to Learn specifically will get forwarded on to me.
Oh, well, thank you for that, too, because, you know, all of the people that have been presenting have been just so generous with their time and offering to answer questions that people have. And I know I've certainly been getting them, and then I will forward them on to the person that you know, made that particular presentation. So, again, Susan, thank you so very much for your time and all of your wisdom tonight. It's been really, really helpful to everyone. So what I'm going to do is put us in conversation mode right now, and then if anyone that's on the call has a particular question that they would like to ask you now, we'll just go right into that. So just give me 1 second.
Okay, sure.
Okay, so is there anyone on the call that has a question they would like to ask Susan right now? Okay, so that's fine. You know, sometimes people would prefer to email their questions in and you've agreed to answer them. So thank you so much for that. And we're going to start in January and be doing these calls pretty regularly and maybe once a week, you know, in the evening time. And, you know, we know parents are working and they have busy schedules. And what we'd like to do is maybe do them, say, on a Wednesday night or something. So right now, Susan, I would love for you to come back and talk to us about, you know, other additional study skills that you have. And I'd like to invite you right now. Would you be willing to come back in January?
Oh, absolutely. I would love the opportunity.
Oh, well, thank you. We would love to have you because you really have a wealth of information. So, again, thank you. I know the callers and the people listening on this call and the people listening to the MP3s later will thank you. And I appreciate you, and I also appreciate everyone who has been on this call and will listen in later. So thank you to everyone, and everyone have a wonderful evening, and obviously continue on, and you've got some great strategies tonight. So thank you again, Susan.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much. I look forward to hopefully hearing from some people.
Okay. Wonderful. All right. Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.